Week 2, Buccaneers at Saints, 1 o'clock kickoff. It's a huge game, and you can watch it with Ira Kaufman himself at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Gorgeous outdoor covered patio seating, indoor seating too, and Florida's best craft beer is on the menu, along with a lot of great food. Sage will be drinking lots of Big Storm beer, and he's actually going to be buying fans who come up to him and ask him for a beer before kickoff. Reach out to the Sage. He's going to buy you a beer, Big Storm beer, September 18th in Clearwater. Buccaneers fans, here he is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. It's the annual prediction edition where the Sage goes on the record. Sometimes you want to keep it and put it on your fridge. Sometimes you want to burn it and use it for some toilet needs. But here it is, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. And all the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Don't mess around. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles, of course. Bill Curry Ford. Concierge ordering service right there at BillCurryFord.com. That means it's so easy, and they make it easier with someone to help you and walk you through. And there's no deposit. And Sean Sullivan gives you $500 in gift cards just to order a vehicle. It's just that simple. He's the GM. Get your new Bronco, your Ford Escape, whatever it is you're looking for, and reach out to Sean if you need any personal assistance. He's there for you in the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, or on email, through the website, whatever you need. Now is the time. Your trade is worth top, top dollar. BillCurryFord.com. And Big Storm Beer, that's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We'll talk more about them later. And Florida's Elite Restoration, we'll hear about them too. That's your first phone call. Anytime you have a disaster in your home or your business, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, this is right up your alley. I have to mention it. On Labor Day.
Ready to go, baby.
Sage, Labor Day at Bill Curry Ford. Free barbecue, 11 to 1. How about that? Free barbecue, all kinds of food.
I've heard enough, Isbitz. That's enough to get me to roll down Dale Mabry Highway. I figure I'd get there about 11:45. There'll still be some scraps left. If there's any brimosas to wash it down, I'm going to have that too.
So, Sage, we got you now on this prediction episode. Are you ready? Have your sleeves rolled up? I got a bunch of questions pre-written. And then now we get to go back in 2-3 months and make fun of you. It's a beautiful tradition on this podcast. How are you?
Of course I'm ready, Steve. And on this holiday weekend, let me kick it off in style with a holiday rant. And everybody that's listening can relate to this. Basically, what happened was, a week ago, our oven almost burned down. Our 3-year-old oven almost caused a fire in the house. So, got to go over to the store, pick out a new oven, which I did. You know, I'm the easiest guy in the world. You make a sale in about 35 seconds with me. The thing was about $1,100. It's got an air fryer in it. I still don't know how the hell to use it. Somebody gave us an air fryer 2 years ago. We've never taken it out of the box, DeKemper. Haven't taken it out of the box. Don't know what to do with it. Anyway, it got delivered a week ago. And we've been using it. And the cooktop's fine with the burners. And the oven is fine. So last night, my wife decides to cook up some lamb chops. Lee, and when we make lamb chops, we use the broiler. She presses broil. She presses start. 15 minutes go by. Hey, I don't know if this broiler's working. I look at it. I put my finger on the coil. Oh, and it was lukewarm. It was cold. Now, you can't do that with a broiler that's working, Lee. I said, forget it. This broiler ain't working. First time we put it on. So we used a baking oven, you know, took 45 minutes instead of 15 minutes.
Wait a minute, Ira. You can't let that go. Are you to tell us that a man of your genius and sage wisdom tests a broiler coil by touching it? You didn't even put like a piece of paper on it or something that could char a little bit? You stuck your finger on there?
That's my pain tolerance, Isbitz. That is the degree of my pain tolerance. Lee, to be honest, the thing normally lights up, and you can see that the broiler's working, and this one didn't light up. So I figured it wasn't working, and I was right. All right, end of story. We cooked the meal. Everything was fine. Today, I got to head down to the same store, talk to the guy. Lee, just on a whim, because there was nobody there when I walked in. There was nobody in the department. So I had a couple of free minutes. And I walked down the aisle, and I looked at my oven that I paid $11.49 for. It was on sale for $8.98. So when I left the house, my wife says, you tell them we want a new oven delivered. Yes, dear. So finally, the salesman comes over. Can I help you? I show him the receipt. I said, this oven is 1 week old. We put the broiler on, and it doesn't work. All right. He looks into his drawer. He takes out a couple of sheets of paper. Yeah, call this number. They'll send out a technician. I said, whoa, what about a new oven? No, you had 48 hours on the new oven. 48 hours. I said, don't I have a warranty?
Hell, you could buy a mattress. They give you 365 days to use it.
Unbelievable. So he says, yeah, you got a warranty from the manufacturer. That's why they're going to fix it. Then I told him, my oven's on sale for $898. What are you going to do about that? He goes, well, you're in luck. You had a 30-day thing if the price drops. So, Lee, I got a $240 rebate on my credit card. That's the good news. Bad news is when I called Whirlpool, I stood there right then and called Whirlpool. You ready for this, DeCamper? This is a classic. I got the announcement. It's a Labor Day weekend, so we're closed on Friday. We're closed. Call us next week. Oh, geez, Lee, they're going to be closed on Monday. Now I'm into next week. Who knows when the technician's coming out? Steve, I can't live without a broiler. A man must have a broiler.
Hey, how are you going to get your pot roast done, Ira? I love that 48-hour warranty on the oven. What are you supposed to run home and start baking a quiche or something?
Yeah, I mean, am I supposed to press all the buttons, Lee, with the convection oven and the air fryer and this and that?
All right. Great story. Fantastic. I never could have gotten through this great weekend without it. And all right, can we get to some football, please, here, Ira?
Let's get to some football, Stevie.
All right. So, Lee, annual prediction episode last year. Ira's, you know, still applauding that he chose Mike Edwards, backup safety, to lead.
Hold on, Steve. Just to add what you're saying, I was in the Buck locker room, first time open locker room in about 3 years. The first guy I approached was Mike Edwards. And I told him the story about a year ago. We did the predictions, and I said you were going to lead the league, lead the team in interceptions. Big smile from Mike Edwards, and he said, you're a smart man. That's what he said.
Did you ask him about the fake vaccine card?
I didn't, and I was looking for Cameron Brate, Steve, because I was going to thank him for the nice birthday shout-out, but he didn't show up in the locker room. He didn't show up.
He's ducking you again. Okay, well, you'll catch him next time, Ira. You'll catch him. We're back to the Sage being able to schmooze and find things out he's not supposed to find out, end up in the trainer's room, getting his hip worked on when he's not supposed to, you know, all that stuff.
Wait a minute, Steve. I'm not making this up, Lee. When I walked in, there were sheets of paper on everybody's cubicle, and I looked at the paper. Rules for the locker room. Rules for the media. And the last thing out of about six or eight items was the furniture in the locker room is for players only. I mean, who's abusing that, DeCamper? Well, what's going on?
I guess what happens is the TV people, when there's a big crowd, they use those chairs as some kind of lift so they can get the camera shot. I remember, didn't Jenna fall off a chair one time a couple of years ago? I think somebody caught her, a player caught her. She fell on a player.
That was Ira.
It was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
I usually wait for Rock Riley to give me a boost so I can see over people's shoulders. That's me.
All right, Sage. Okay.
That's what it is. They use the chairs for stools.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. To stand up and, you know, if they need to, get a different angle or get a microphone in there better. I've seen that before. Now, you want to lean a little defense first or you want to go offense?
We'll go defense first, Stevie.
All right. And we do have some news that we'll talk about later, some things that have come up in the last couple of days. So we're not all about Sage predictions on this episode.
Defense first, baby.
All right. What I need from you, Ira, Lee, you're up second. I need the sack totals for each outside linebacker. Shaq Barrett, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, Anthony Nelson, and Carl Nassib.
I'll kick it off. Shaq Barrett, 11. Joe Tryon, Soyinka, 8. Carl Nassib, 5. Mm. Anthony Nelson, 4.
Any intriguing thought there, Ira, or that's just your numbers?
Nassib will take some snaps away from Nelson. Otherwise, I think Nelson would have been up to 6 or 7, so I'm bumping him down to 4. And I will say that Nassib was a nice pickup for the Bucks. I think that's smart.
Lee?
Shaq, 11. Joe Tryon, 7. Anthony Nelson, 5. Nassib, 3. I think Nelson is higher up than Nassib on the food chain.
Okay.
All right, Ira. I like what I've seen from Shaq Barrett, and he came through healthy, and I think early in the season he might clean up a little bit with the as long as that the front stays healthy with Vea and Hicks, while they stay healthy, going to have a lot of attention paid over there. And I think Tryon Soyinka might miss a couple of sacks that just fall into Shaq's lap. So I'm going Shaq with 13.5, Tryon with 7, Nelson with 5, and Nassib with 3.
Okay.
All right, Sage.
We're
now
in the same ballpark.
Sage, here we go. We need a Buccaneers MVP of the defense. When all is said and done, who's the Buccaneers MVP, and what do you think?
The MVP of the Buccaneer defense will be Antoine Winfield.
Why? What's going to stand out? What's different? Is he going to get picks? Is he going to get some sacks as a blitzer this year? Have a more of a Rondé Barber kind of stat line? What are we looking at?
I think his mentality, Lee, is more aggressive. He's got takeaways on his mind. He might be slotted in a couple of positions that he's not normally standing. I think the ball's going to find Winfield, and he's a good tackler. I think he's in for a big year. He's young. He's getting better all the time. Bowles loves him, and if he's smart, he'll listen to Bowles, who knew how to play safety. I like Winfield to have a big year, Lee.
Winfield's a good pick. However, I'm going with the old standby. It looks like he has more spring in his step. I think he has a healthy foot now. He looks like a different player, a younger player. And that would be old man Levante David.
Talked to him yesterday, Lee. He sounds ready to go, man. Ready to go.
Sage, going here with, I'm going to go with Shaq Barrett with those 13.5 sacks. You know, I think he always forces his share of turnovers with those strip sacks and a fumble. Shaq's a versatile guy, usually finds a pick. I think this is his year to be the standout with a lot of guys as a close second. So I'm going to stick with Shaq. Now, Ira, here's a good one for you. Devin White. In the last 2 years, Devin White has one forced fumble. One forced fumble in the last 2 years. Will he go over that total this year? Will he get two or more? Will he be one, or will he be under?
He'll get 3 this year, Steve. Every day, Bowles is screaming at these guys. All of them. You got to tackle and you got to swarm. Swarm, swarm, swarm. No loafs. And I think there's going to be a few times this year where White's the second and third guy in, and he's going to punch that ball out. I'm giving him 3, Lee. 1 is not acceptable. I want more than 1.
Well, I'm sure that Todd Bowles has mentioned to Devin White once or twice in 3 years that he needs to tackle and he needs to force a turnover. To me, 1 forced fumble in 3 years, that's a pattern. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I will say he gets 1 forced fumble this year.
Yeah, 1 in the last 2 years. He had 2 as a rookie in 2019.
The last 2 years.
Yeah, he's got one total in the last 2 years. Sage, I'm going to take the over. I can't predict a guy to just have 1 forced fumble and be a great player, so I'm going with the over there, Ira. All right, now look, let's go to a little more detail on defense, Sage. What player on defense takes a major step forward this year? Who is the guy at the end of the year where everybody says, man, that's the guy who made a leap?
I think this is the year Carlton Davis becomes a top 5 corner. I don't think he's there. I think it's crazy to argue that he is there at this point. I don't think he can back that up, but he's a good player. I love his mentality. He's healthy, Lee. Can he stay healthy? Who knows? I think there's going to be a lot of responsibility on his plate. And Lee, I think he's at the point in his career that he can handle it. Bowles is a big believer in him. He's a believer in himself. Carlton Davis is going to make that jump from the 12th best corner to the 5th best corner, and that's a big leap.
I can't go there. To me, that's not a big leap. And again, Carlton Davis has led the league since Bowles showed up in passes defended. So there's evidence right there he's a good ball player. Big leap, to me, this is hanging fruit, man. Big leap is Joe Tryon. If he gets more than 6 sacks, that's a hell of a jump, I think. That's about doubling his previous total. That's a big jump. So I think this is a slam dunk, Joe Tryon.
As long as he's faithful and plays the run first, Lee.
Sage, this is a tough one for me. It's a tough one, but I'm going to go for the eyeball test a little bit, and I like the depth around him, which I think will give him more opportunities to make more plays, and the fact that he's such a smart player that I think one more year is going to do wonders for him, and that's Antoine Winfield, your MVP of the defense. He's going to be my guy that improves the most. I think he's going to get those 4 picks and make some more plays, and if they let him blitz a little more like they did in his rookie year, I think he'll come up with a sack or two. So that's where I'm going, Sage. Well, how about that?
Nicely done, Steve. Nice call.
Now, we wouldn't be the Ira Kaufman podcast if we didn't go to who takes a step back on this defense this year. Who does everybody say, that guy's not who we thought he was in 2021?
I'm going to say Vita Vea. And Lee, and you always preface your stuff with it, and you're really genuine about it. You tell the truth that you don't wish these things on anybody. I just think he's going to have trouble staying healthy. Is that a reason why he plays 45% of the snaps? Probably. I don't know. I know he's got Hicks next to him instead of Sue. On paper, that sounds good. But I don't think he can play more than 12 or 13 games. I think he's going to go backwards this year.
Who takes a step back? Edwards. Mike Edwards. Only because I think they have more depth in the secondary now. And I think Logan Ryan's going to take snaps away from him.
All right, Sage, this is another tough one, Ira. Very difficult situation here because you got to try to balance health with reality and all that other stuff and playing time. I'm going to take a weird one here, Ira. I'm going to say Sean Murphy Bunting. And I'm going with him because I think he's not going to necessarily play a lot unless there are injuries. And that's a difficult spot when you're used to being a full-time player. Coming in off the bench, he's been a little injury prone in different ways. And I think a lot of fans look at him as a quality starter. And I think he just may be looked at the end of the year as a little less of a quality starter, somebody who's actually expendable because he and Jamel Dean are going to be up for free agency after the year. And he might be somebody who the Bucks say, oh, you know what? We'll re-sign Logan Ryan and let him go. Difficult call, Sage, on such a deep defense. Sticking with that defense, Ira, as far as the totals, you love these numbers. Last year, scoring defense, as you like to call it, meaning how many points did you allow? The Bucks had the 5th best defense in the league, 13th when it came to yards, ranking total yards allowed. So where do they rank this year, Ira? Scoring defense and yards allowed.
Schedule's tougher, Lee. They face better quarterbacks in 2022. Than they did last year. Some elite quarterbacks, 5 or 6 elite quarterbacks. That's a big number, Lee, considering your division stinks, and I'm not counting any of the games in the division because Winston's not elite at this point. So I'm going to say they drop from 5th maybe to 8th, Lee, in scoring defense. Yards given up, I think they'll make some improvement, but I think they'll give up more touchdowns. So yards given up, I think they go to 10, but scoring defense, I think they drop back a little. Those are some tough quarterbacks they're playing this year.
Tough quarterbacks, I totally agree. That's well thought out and reasoned, Ira. Scoring defense, I'm going to say number 3. Yards, I'm going to say number 7. The reason why I'm saying that, I think the Bucs are primed to have a dominant defense this year. With the guys up front they added, with Logan Ryan and the guys they got in the backfield, defensive backfield, I believe this defense is really going to take a jump forward. I read an interview the other day, I think it was with Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. Bowles is still hacked off how that season last year ended. It's almost like he's taking it personally. And you combine all those factors with the talent they added, the talent they let go. You know, JPP was invisible last year. I just think it all adds up to the Bucks having a much better defense. They face better quarterbacks, but I still think the defense is going to be better. Where they may get dinged by the quality quarterbacks, they're going to mop up on the slop like Atlanta has and those teams. So, point of reference, Steve, you ever talk about who's going to drop off with the Bucks? Does Sean Murphy bunting qualify as dropping off? The reason why I ask that is he had such a lousy year. For him to drop off from last year, you're basically saying he's going to be off the field and not a total non-factor. So is that apt?
I would say from my perspective, it is, only because it's a perception game. A lot of fans view him as a starter. And I said, the guy that we look at and say, yeah, you know what? He's not the player we thought he was in 2021. You know, he didn't have the greatest year. He was hurt, but people still had a high regard for him. I just think his stock is going to drop.
He couldn't tackle.
He's an interesting case, Steve. You know, I look at him, and maybe you guys don't agree, but he's never distinguished himself at any aspect. He's okay, you know, in coverage, maybe okay in run support, but he hasn't distinguished himself. He's sort of just a guy out there, should be on an NFL roster, but maybe they can do better after this season.
Well, I thought the way he played in the playoffs in 2020, I thought he was on the cusp of something big, and he gets hurt right away last year, and last year was pretty much waste for him.
Yeah, a little harsh, Ira, a little harsh. I think he had for a second-year player, he had a very a strong second year for a Super Bowl team and a strong defense, good playoffs. So a little harsh there by the sage, but Ira doesn't hold back. He's from Brooklyn and he bakes in his oven. You know, that's how it is. Get out of his way. All right. It is that time of year, hurricane season. This is full swing now in September. Full swing. We've been lucky so far. But if that damage comes through and that storm comes through, you got to be prepared. Part of that is knowing who to call. And that's Florida's Elite Restoration. The minute you have a problem, before you call your insurance company, you call them. They'll give you a free assessment. And perhaps more important, they know how to handle your insurance company so you don't get ripped off in your time of need. Owner Josh Martin used to be an insurance adjuster, 14 years. He's got all the experience you want in a restoration company. And he's giving your listeners, Sage, $500 if you get your free assessment and you tell them before you go forward with an agreement. If you're going to have them do work for you, you got to let them know. Ira Kaufman, JoeBucksFan.com. You'll get your $500 back. Maybe that's cash if you're paying, just for work. Or if you're going with a big insurance repair, maybe that's money you use toward your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. You've got it on your refrigerator.
You know, it's right there next to my appliance, man. You got to have these things. Steve, and you made a great point about Josh Moore. Steve, he's been on all sides of the restoration business. He's been on the legal side. He's been on the insurance side. He's been on the practical side. And that gives our listeners a huge advantage because he knows all the angles. And believe me, there's plenty of angles to know. So if you even think you might have a problem with a leak, with mold, Josh Martin, Florida's Elite Restoration, has to be your first call, Steve, before you call the insurance company.
Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Here we go. You know what? We'll get off the defense. We'll let it go. We got our picks in, but I do have to ask you one final one. Interception leader. You called it last year. I can't not let you call it again. So who leads the team in interceptions and how many?
Antoine Winfield, 5. 5. That's a good number. 5.
This might trigger, Ira. That's a good number. You're right. And that's the same number I'm picking. I'm going with Levante David.
Wow. Nice.
I saw him pick off Brady twice in a week in practice. So I'm going to say he gets 5 picks.
I'm going to go with Carlton Davis with 5 picks, but I don't think his season will necessarily go better than it did last year. So I think he'll be a very similar player maybe overall, but I think he's going to get that pick number up. And I think Winfield would be my second place if I had to choose it. So I'm going to go a little crazy here, Ira. 5 picks for Carlton Davis.
We're all over Winfield and Davis. We're all over those two guys. And, you know, they're very talented.
How many picks did Brooks have in 2002?
I think he might have had 5. He brought 5. Back 3 or 4 for touchdowns. He did.
Yeah. All right, Ira, look, everybody wants to hear what you have to say on the record. the season record. I want the Bucks season record, and I want the NFC South teams and their totals.
All right. I'm locked in. 11-6. Saints, 10-7. It's a battle. It's a duel up top. The Bucks are not going to wrap this up on Thanksgiving. It's going to be a battle. Carolina, 3rd, 8-9. Good defense for the Panthers, Lee. And Mayfield's not bad. I don't think they have enough weapons, and I don't think McCaffrey can stay healthy. 8-9 for the Panthers, which will probably mean a coaching change. Rule will be gone. Right. Falcons, Steve, I've said it before. I hope we don't have too many Falcon fans. Lee, they stink. They stink. You know, only the cockeyed optimist of the world that's a Falcon fan can see them being competitive this year. Steve, I got them 4-13, fighting for the number one pick in the draft.
4-13? They're going to have 4 wins, that team? Wow.
Hey, I thought I was being harsh, Lee.
Oh, wait till you hear mine.
Okay.
Bucks, 10 wins. Slimy Saints, 10 wins. Yeah, I know. Tied. Panthers is a tough call. That's a tough call. I think they've got a good defense. I think they're on the verge of something. And, hell, Mayfield got the Browns in the playoffs. I'll say 8 wins. The Dixie Chicks? Uno.
Whoa.
They're awful. Ira, I think it was you. If it wasn't you, then please set me straight. I think it was you that told me months ago Atlanta's tanking. And I really agree with you. They are terrible. Terrible. They've got no offensive line. Mariota's a brittle runaround quarterback. Not just a runaround quarterback, a brittle runaround quarterback. And they have no defense. They've got a tight end. They've got one receiver, and that is it. That is it. They're terrible.
1-16, Steve. Wow.
Father D. Orlando Ledbetter, I please forgive my sins. 1 win for the Falcons.
Lee, who wins the division if both teams have 10 wins?
Well, it goes in the tiebreaker, obviously. I can't guess. I can't guess that because I don't know. I mean, that's like flip of the coin. That's like, you know, scoring and all that. I'm very, very paranoid about the Slimy Saints. I really believe they're going to have a hell of a year. And I really think Chris Olave is going to be a bad problem for the Bucks for many years. That guy, I've been high on him since he was a junior at Ohio State. And the worst freaking team he could have gone to is the Slimy Saints.
Steve, Lee and I have it as a dogfight atop the NFC South. Do you see it that way, Steve?
No, I don't see it that way, Ira. I think the Bucks. I'm going to give them... I'm struggling between 12 and 13 wins, so I'm just going to go with the 13 because they closed the season at Atlanta, and I think if it was a 16-game season, I would be at 12-4. So I'm going 13-4, even though I'm hedging, Ira. If I could go 12.3-4, I would, but I can't do that. So I'm going 13 wins, 10 for the Saints, and I don't think they're going to be a special team. They won 9 games last year. I don't think they've improved enough. Too many losses. They just traded away one of their best cornerbacks. They've got legal troubles. They've got a quarterback who nobody really knows what he's going to do over a course of a full season. If they open up the offense to add to these great receivers that they've added, then that raises the probability of interceptions over there. I think the loss of Sean Payton is a very serious loss. I don't expect this team to really get much better, losing a Hall of Fame level coach. So I'm going to stick with that. The Panthers, you know, Ira, I think they may be the only team ever where you add a playoff caliber young quarterback, major improvement from last year. You get back and arguably a Hall of Fame running back. And you've got decent receivers and an A-list defense, and nobody thinks they can be a winning team. It's really weird. It's weird. But I'm going with what you guys said, 8-9 for the Panthers, And I think Atlanta's a little better than people think. And I think Desmond Ridder will be starting by the end of the year. I don't think they're tanking. He had a strong preseason, looks like a legit guy. And so I'm going to say they're a 5-win team. And I think the NFC South may hang in there as one of the top 2 or 3 best divisions in the league.
So, Steve, you have the Bucs vying for the top seed in the conference.
I look at the other teams. I don't think anybody separated themselves at all. I don't think the Rams are better. I don't think Green Bay got better. I don't see the Saints is better. I don't see Dallas is better. We've talked about them a little bit, and we'll get to them more in the next podcast pregame. So and the Eagles are nice, but I'm not really sure if they're much better, that they've made up all that ground on the Bucs from the playoffs of last year. So, yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
All right, Ira. Look, Bill Curry Ford, stick with them. BillCurryFord.com, C-U-R-R-I-E, Bill Curry Ford. Shop now, BillCurryFord.com. And we heard it earlier, Sage, September 18th, 1 o'clock kickoff, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Hang out with the Sage. A lot of good times indoors as well as outdoor, fully covered patio, 3,000 square feet. Great audio, great video. BigStormBrewery.com. All right, Ira, now we've got offense. The fun stuff is here, Sage. Tom Brady, Ira, last year led the league in attempts, completions, yards, and touchdowns. I'm just going to focus on the latter. 5,316 yards last year, 43 touchdowns. What does he get this year, Ira?
He gets 5,100, and he gets 37 touchdowns. You can't lose Gronkowski, who we'll talk about later, but at the moment, Gronk's not lining up at Dallas for week one. I don't think Godwin is likely to line up at Dallas for week one. They added Gage and Julio Jones. Mike Evans is a stud. Ali, I don't think you can lose players the quality of Gronkowski and Godwin for who knows how long and not suffer a little bit. I'm not going to say they're turning into a running team. That's not going to happen, nor should it with Tom Brady. But I think his numbers will go down slightly, but that's still a heck of a year for a 45-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, and also Nutcase Brown's not with him either. And he did play a few games last year for the
Bucs. He played 5 or 6 games last year. That's right.
Yeah, so that factors in as well. I say 4,800 yards and 38 touchdowns.
Very tough one for me because I really believe in my heart of hearts that Tom Brady wants to put up savage numbers this year. Like he really cares about the numbers. They say he doesn't, but we know that he really does. And I think he and Leftwich are going to be like, look, man, our strength is throwing and let's just go crazy here. We got it. So I'm going to gamble that the receivers stay healthy. And if they do, I think we're going to see numbers we've never seen before. So I'm putting Brady at 5,400 yards and 45 touchdowns with them really rolling up the score late in the season on these teams. No mercy. Tom Brady's final year. And so I'm going 5,445, Ira.
You think he'll throw as many pass attempts, Steve? Only one guy in history ever threw more balls in a season than Brady, and that was Stafford 1 year with the Lions. Now, there was a 17th game last year. Steve, is Brady going to lead the league again in pass attempts?
Ira, I'm just putting myself in week four. Let's just say in week four, everybody's healthy. All those four receivers. What are you going to do, hand off to Giovanni Bernard? I mean, come on. Let's go.
That's the line of the podcast, Desmond.
Brady's going to be like, look at these. Look at what I got to work with. Let's effing go. You know, I just think if they're healthy, he'll be motivated to throw first and ask questions later. So that's where I'm at. All right. Sage.
Remember, Steve, that interview that Leftwich did with Ryan Clark? And Brady's like, look, I watched your film. You got guys wide open every play.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I was going to ask Lee if Brady's going to average 42 pass attempts a game. That's a big number. But, you know, Lee always says you do what produces results. And, Lee, they average 30 points. You can't say they're going wrong. You can't.
Yeah, that's true. That's their strength. If it's working and that's their strength, put the foot on the gas.
Yeah.
Well, Ira, of course, I'm pie in the sky. I'm just pretending that the pass blocking will be just fine, and I'm sticking with that. So there you go. All right. Julio Jones, Ira, how many catches? How many yards and touchdowns? How many games? The Julio line.
Julio's line is 11 games. 11. Mm. 43 catches, 600 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
I say 7 games. He's going to get nicked up. That's just, you know, that's who he is right now, unfortunately. 7 games, 600 yards, 5 touchdowns.
That's a lot of production, Lee. It's a lot of production for 7 games.
Well, I mean, if he's on the field, he's gonna be targeted.
I think Julio Jones, in some ways, is going to take over the Antonio Brown role of being Tom Brady's favorite target when he's on the field. And I think maybe some of the TB12 stuff and a new start and being a little more experienced with his body is going to pay off. So I'm going 13 games for Julio Jones, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think he's going to do it, Ira. And then, unfortunately, he probably won't be here next year. But I think that's where it's going. All right, most touchdowns.
Are you suggesting that Julio Jones is running out of room from Brady?
1,000 yards for Julio Jones, Steve. Wow.
Yeah, I think he's going to do it. Not an exciting, sexy 1,000 yards, but I think he'll grind his way there and have a couple of big games, in part because Tom Brady's going to want to feed him, and the players love him already. It's obvious. And again, if I'm saying they're running up the score in the touchdowns, they got to go somewhere. I can't back off that. Yeah.
And of course, you got Evans topping 1,000 yards, so that'll be 2 of them.
Absolutely, yep. Absolutely. All right, most touchdowns among the running backs after Leonard Fournette, on the ground and through the air, Ira. Ooh. Just one total. Most touchdowns among running backs after Leonard Fournette.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of meat on that bone. I don't. So I might as well make my outrageous pick of the podcast, the Kemper. My outrageous pick. Gio Bernard, 4 touchdowns all as a receiver. 4.
I was going to go with same number, but it would be Rashad White. I saw how much he was being targeted in practices, a lot. So I say 4 touchdowns for White, 3 of which will be through the air. He'll get one on the ground.
All right, Iris, look, Bernard had 3 last year through the air in 12 games. I'm going to go the other way, just in part for fun and in part because I don't think Leonard Fournette is going to make 17 games with the extra pounding, and he's had a history of not going 17. So I'm going to go with the guy who stepped up last year and led the team in rushing 3 times. I'm going to go with Keyshawn Vaughn with 3. I'm going to go with Sneak with 4 touchdowns. And I think Bernard or White may have 2 or 3 for sure, but I'm going to go with him with 4. All right, Sage, moving along quickly, player on offense who takes a step forward and a step backwards. Give me both at once to keep it quick. So who takes a leap forward on offense, major step forward? Who takes a major step backwards?
Major step forward on offense. It can't be worse. He's already the best in the league at his position. Well, he can't get much better. I don't know if Steve's going to allow this. He may beat me out of this. I may hear a buzzer go off on unacceptable, Ira. I'm going to say Russell Gage. Now, that might not be acceptable because he wasn't there last year, Lee. I don't know if that counts. But I think his numbers will be better than Julio Jones's.
Whoa.
I do, because I think he'll play more. He hasn't been injury prone necessarily. I think he's over whatever was bothering him during camp. So, Steve, you might give me the buzzer on Russell Gage. I mean, that's a sensitive issue, Steve.
Since you're Ira, I'll allow it. Go ahead, Lee.
For me, and I don't know how this is going to be gauged. For me, the most improved player, and it's going to sound wacky at first, let me explain. My prediction for the most improved player, Luke Getteke. I think he's going to be pretty good by the time December rolls around. I think he's going to struggle early on, like most rookies do. And I can't remember who it is on Twitter that keeps reminding Steve and I that Alex Kappa couldn't get on the field hardly at all as a rookie. So Getteke is that much better than Alex Kappa was. Again, I don't know how you gauge this unless you go by sacks allowed or rushing totals, but I think he's going to be much better toward the end of the season than what he will be this month being September.
All right, guys, who is taking your step back?
Wait a minute, Steve. You got to make your pick going forward.
Okay, all right. No problem, Sage. Well,
first, Iris Sharp, the today. He's on top of things.
First, let me say, whoever's telling us on Twitter that, that makes no sense. Different coaching staff. They didn't know what they were doing. Kappa was splitting some games with Caleb Benenach, who was couldn't even play outside of Tampa. I don't buy that at all. It's apples and oranges. So there you go, Mr. Twitter. I've said my piece. As far as major step forward on offense, Ira. All right, major step forward. I'm going with, and I don't even know if there is anybody, but I'm going with Donovan Smith. I think that he had a great year last year. He had a great year last year. They really need to rely on him this year to get the left guard in shape, up to speed, to have his greatest year ever because of some of the other deficiencies they might have. And I think Smith had a good camp. I think he stayed healthy as he always does. I think he's going to step up to that national respect level this year. So that's why I'm saying this is his Pro Bowl year. I think he'll get the respect. Take a step back. I'm going with Chris Godwin. I think just that injury is going to cut his touches ultimately. And with the other guys there, I mean, Tom Brady loves Chris Godwin, but I still think Julio's healthy, Evans, Gage, like you're talking, Ira. I just think Godwin hopefully gets healthy, but I don't think it's going to be a step forward for his numbers in any way, maybe a step back.
Lee, this one pains me, Lee. This one pains me. Step back on offense. I'm sorry. Don't take it personal. I think I might go with Cameron Brate, Lee. I might go with Cameron Brate because he's going to play more snaps, more wear and tear on his body. He's not 25 anymore. I think he's going to get beat up, Lee. He's got a history of being beat up. I don't know if he can play more than 10 games this year. I think he goes back a little.
Well, I know in training camp, he's looked awfully quick. I don't know if he's been doing TB12 or not, but he's looked awfully quick. That's not a bad choice, but I'm like you, Ari. We like him so much. He's such a good dude. You want to see guys like him succeed, not fade away. Same position. Same position, Ira. Kyle Rudolph. I think it was a hell of a pickup, and I was one of many that was trumpeting the signing. He hadn't shown me anything. To me, he just looked just a guy. Nice guy, intelligent guy. I think he's great for the locker room, but I just don't see him making much of an impact. Now, having said that, I think he's going to make a hell of a play here or there. Like once every 3 or 4 games, he'll make a hell of a play. But other than that, I think he's just a guy. I don't think he's going to get a whole lot of snaps because he's, you know, I don't think he's any better than Kate Otten. Honest to goodness, I don't. So I say Kyle Rudolph will take a step back. How you gauge that again, I don't know because he didn't play for the Bucs last year. But I don't outside of an individual play here or there, I don't expect him to make much of an impact.
Steve, none of us picked 45-year-old Tom Brady to take a step back. None of us.
No.
Too easy.
No, definitely not. And Brate would have been my second choice on taking a step back after Godwin. And it was a close second. I don't think he'll stay healthy. I think he'll make plays when he's out there and they'll rely on him. But he hasn't played the amount of snaps that they're expecting in a long time. He's been banged up 6 years in a row, even though he's played through it. I don't see it. I'm with you there, Ira. All right. So, Sage, MVP of the Bucs offense, not named Brady.
Well said, Steve. Not named Brady. I think Fournette. Lee, I don't see any signs of slowdown. He's 27, 28 years old. Lee's smack dab in his prime. He's not overworked necessarily. He's not getting Derrick Henry, you know, Jonathan Taylor carries. He's looked good in camp, Lee. He looks like he's in shape. Brady trusts him as a pass catcher. He doesn't have to come out necessarily every time they're on 3rd and 5. They don't have to take him out. His first carry, Lee, I know it was a preseason game, but first carry of the game last week against Indy. You know, he carries a guy for about 3-4 extra yards. The guy is a good, solid player, Lee. Leonard Fournette.
Everybody on the Bucs should have a similar weight problem in the summertime. That's who I was going to pick, Ira, but there's a second candidate that's just hanging right out there, a low-hanging fruit again. And in a way, I'm surprised you didn't pick him. Mike Evans.
All he does is score touchdowns, Lee. That's all he does.
All he does is score touchdowns. All he does is get yards. All he does is catch passes. And with Godwin on the shelf, who knows how long. You know, Julio's still relatively new. Kyle Rudolph is new. Gage is new. And he's been out for quite a while. Guess who Brady's going to lean on? Mr. Dependable, Mike Evans.
I was going to go there too, Ira. I think he'll get back to his, you know, in that 1,200-yard form. And his first year with Bruce Arians, Evans was on fire. He missed a few games from injury, but he was well over, you know, like 1,200 yards was in that neighborhood, eight touchdowns. And he's just, he knows the, I think just the comfort level and everything else adds up to a next level kind of year from Mike Evans, you know, channeling his earlier days, but with more touchdowns. All right, I have a quickie here. No need for explanations. No need for explanations. What tight end contributes most this season? Is it Rob Gronkowski, who Drew Rosenhaus continues to say yet again today, it's his opinion that Gronk will return if the situation is right in Tampa and they need him. He made it clear, Rosenhaus did, his agent, Gronk's agent, that, hey, I've been his agent for years, and this is my opinion. I know the guy, even though he's very happy in retirement. Or will it be Brait, Kieft, Otten, Rudolph? Which tight end contributes the most this year?
I can't take Gronk, because even if he comes back, Steve, he'll miss half the season. He's not going to come back, you know, in week four. I can't see that. He might provide a late season boost. Lee, I don't think Brait can last the season, so I'm not going with him. Liam, I'm going to go with Otten. I'm going to go with Otten because I think he can catch the ball. He can get open, you know, and I think he's going to develop a rapport with Brady. So, you know, Gronk notwithstanding, Lee, I'm going to go with the kid, Otten.
Steve, can we go with the same guy like Ivor does?
Sure, of course. Yeah, of course.
Okay. Ivor, you hit the nail on the head. I'm going to go with Otten as well. You know, I've written this, I don't know how many times, I fully expect by the end of this season, Cade Otten will be a starter. He certainly will be next year, but we're not there yet. We're worried about this year. I expect Otten by the end of the year, either it's injury for Brait, injury for Rudolph not being productive enough. I'm a big Otten fan. I saw that guy get better and better and better every practice. And I think this guy's going to be a hell of a weapon for Brady. I think this is a steal for a fourth round pick. He can block, he can catch. I agree with you. Otten will be the most productive Bucks tight end in 2022.
Sage, I'm going with Rudolph, and I'll tell you why. It really stuck out to me when Devin White went public and said Rudolph doesn't have his legs. Now, this was maybe 3-4 weeks ago. You know, said he doesn't have his legs yet, not in shape yet. He wasn't with a team this spring. And I think it's pretty impressive that Rudolph, who didn't really get many veteran days that I saw at all, he went all the way through camp and didn't get hurt. And he played in the preseason. And that tells me that the guy is in good shape. He's just getting his legs and probably being very methodical about it. He's known as a gamer. He played every game last year. I think Brady brought him in because he trusts him. And I have every reason to believe that he's, because he didn't get hurt or dinged up this preseason, that he's going to get those legs. He's going to look pretty good and he'll stay healthy and, you know, maybe catch four balls a game and get up to or three balls a game and get up to 40, 50 catches and be that guy going forward. So I'm going to go with him.
I can see that, Steve. I can see it.
The last one, Sage, on the offense, last one, and we already got your season records. You've been doing a great job, Ira. These are gold picks. I encourage everyone to head to a state that allows legal wagering and bet on all these exotic wagers. Ira's got everything here for you. Get your over-under on your interceptions, on Antoine Winfield, everything you need. Leonard Fournette, Ira's probably just made you $100,000 here. Last one, Sage, Robert Hainsey. Does he hold up? What do you expect from Hainsey this season?
Hainsey plays eight games. Plays eight games. And Lee, I'm directing it to you. You know who I talk to. These people are sharp. They don't have an axe to grind. They don't love the Bucks. They don't hate the Bucks. They're observers. They look at all 32 teams. They've been around. They know what a pro looks like. They don't think Hainsey can hold up at this level. So I'm going to give them a little credence and say, and Lee, you made the point last week, and I can't argue with you. Is it too early to say this guy's a little injury prone? Yeah, it's probably too early to say it, Lee. Let's be fair. However, we have what we have in front of us. Hainsey plays eight games, Lee. They're gonna have to have somebody else in there for half the season.
I sort of agree with you, Ira. I was going to say 10 games. But, yeah, thus far, he's not proven to me that he's durable. He's already gotten hurt in preseason. We don't know if he's going to play in Dallas. We assume that. So it's reasonable to believe that he's going to miss some games during the regular season. So I'll go ahead and say he plays in 10 games. But, no, he does not play a full season. No, he won't.
I think he'll hold up physically. I'm not worried about the guy physically. I do think there's still a chance they replace him. Maybe that is at the trade deadline. I'm not sure what his play is going to look like, but I think he'll hold up. It's sketchy, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm wimping out at the end here. I'm going soft. I don't know.
Well, Steve, at midseason, they're going to reassess. Steve, they'll reassess like they always do with the entire roster. And they're going to look hard at the film of Hainsey and decide, can we win a championship with this guy? Or do we need to, buff up that position? And Lee, at this point, we don't know the answer.
Ira, I'm proud of you. You got through very well here. Very, very well. Last one, though, with Gronk. So what do you think? You think this is smoke? This is real? There's fire here? Why is Drew Rosenhaus saying this? Why is he saying this?
Well, Lee's been observing Drew Rosenhaus for decades. You can't make book on everything the guy says, Lee. It's tantalizing. He throws it out there. Buck fans get excited. I don't blame him. Talking about a Hall of Fame tight end, possibly ending his retirement. I think it's far-fetched, Lee. You know, one guy ended his retirement after 40 days, Brady. That doesn't mean Gronkowski's going to do it. The Bucks could be sailing along, Lee. They could be 8-2. The tight ends might be fine. At that point, Gronkowski might throw a monkey wrench into things. Who knows? Lee, I'm not buying everything that the Rosenhaus is serving out there. I'm just not buying it.
Oily Drew Rosenhaus.
All right, Sage, you've been fantastic. Our thanks, as we heard before, Florida's Elite Restoration. The first phone call, anytime you have a disaster in your home or business, flood, mold, fire, don't mess around. Get to their website, bookmark it, floridaseliterestoration.com. We'll see you over at Bill Curry Ford, Sage, and don't drink too many Big Storm beers this weekend. And Sage, last call, if you will, to keep the beer theme going. Last call, how many times this year do you get a one-on-one with Tom Brady? What's the over-under there? One, two, what are we looking at?
I would say two. Both will occur in the locker room, and both will cause immediate consternation from the Buck PR staff. They will come screaming at me in tandem to try to break it up, because I might get one quote from Tom Brady that's not scripted. But you know me, Steve. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm standing right in front of his locker room for the full 45 minutes.
Just don't sit on the furniture. You'll be good.